Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. What a show it has been already today. If you're just tuning in for hour number three, I highly encourage you to listen to the first 2 hours as well via podcast today, because Mraz's Pat Shurmur meltdown, takedown in hour number one is an all-timer. Also, Jerry Rice in hour number two was phenomenal as well. And I want to touch on the college football playoff rankings again and then get into this NFL London Charger story. LSU, to me, is the best team in the country. And admittedly, part of that is just how explosive their offense is. And maybe Ohio State is the best. Maybe. I'm willing to have that discussion. I just think as explosive as LSU's offense is in that conference right now, and seemingly getting better as the season goes on, I think LSU deserves to be number one tonight in the college football playoff rankings. I think Ohio State is the second best team in the country, perhaps the best, but I would put them at number two right now in the college football playoff rankings tonight. And I would put Bama at number three. Bama does not have the quality wins of the previous two. Bama does not have the signature wins of the LSU program right now. Tua is not going to be 100% for Saturday's game. It is going to be in Tuscaloosa. LSU is going to be missing its best sack artist. And easily, Alabama could win this game, which is why they're nearly a touchdown favorite. However, I still think they deserve to be number three tonight. And the number four, there's a huge controversy, huge discussion point. Frankly, I would put Oregon to number four. And here's why. I think Oregon can beat you by winning the trenches, running the football with an elite quarterback as well. And those are just things that the other teams below them don't have. There's other very good teams, and Penn State clearly has an argument at number four. They're undefeated. They have two wins against ranked opponents. And Oregon's resume might not be as good. It might not be as good. And there's no doubt the Big Ten is way better than the Pac-12. But I look at the Ducks. This past weekend, going to Washington and winning, or 2 weeks ago, that is a huge feather in their cap, because Washington and Chris Peterson and playing there is always difficult for everybody. And, you know, they were able to find a way to win, and they were able to put up five touchdowns in doing so, and it was a solid win against a quality opponent. And for Oregon, putting up 56 this past weekend against USC on the road, they just exploded in the second half. And Oregon's loss is against a very good Auburn team. Their loss is the best loss out of all of these one losses. So I just think they're slightly better to me via eye test and all the ways they can beat you, because Penn State's offense has been so ugly at times this year. And I know that Oregon's offense can do it all. I know that Justin Herbert, when he's on and locked in, is phenomenal. I know they could run the football. I know their offensive line, Mario Cristobal's coached it really well. I like it. So they're slight leg up for me, Oregon at number four over Penn State, which I would put at number five. You know, the problem with UGA and Georgia is that are they as bad as losing to South Carolina? Because if that's their bad, I just can't see them beating LSU or Bama in the SEC title game. So why are we even talking about it? They've just been underwhelming. It was a good win this past weekend against Florida, but I can't put them that high. Clemson I can't put in the top five yet. I might put them at five, but I would probably put them at six because Clemson just unfortunately has no quality wins. I mean, they beat Texas A&M earlier in the season. That does not look all that great right now. And they just get no test in the ACC. None whatsoever. The ACC is so bad. It's not Clemson's fault. I was at Death Valley a couple of weeks ago when they absolutely handed it to Florida State. But there's just no way to know if they're one of the four best teams of the country yet. As I've said, if they end up running the table, which I think they will, and they win the ACC championship at 13-0, you simply cannot keep the defending national champions out of the Final Four if they're undefeated and beat everybody in their way. But I can't put them at four or five right now. And for Utah, you know, their one good win is against Arizona State. We know that their defense is really good, but they don't really have a challenge until the Pac-12 championship game either. So when it comes down to Oregon and Utah, that's their resume is really all about if they remain one loss and they beat one another, whoever wins that Pac-12 championship game. And Oklahoma, I mean, they look great for a while, but their best win is Texas. That doesn't look great. And they gave up 48 points to Kansas State. Give up 48 points to Kansas State. You know how ugly that is? It looked good final score, and they nearly got that onside kick, but they're getting waxed by K-State, and they came anywhere near four or five. That's how I would put it. LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Bama 3, Oregon 4, Penn State 5. So there is a story in The Athletic today, actually came out yesterday, about the NFL's plan to potentially move the Chargers full-time to London. Now, if you think about it from an NFL standpoint, this checks a lot of their boxes. Number one, they have always wanted a full-time team in London. They're on a passion project, a we will die on this hill desire to get a team full-time in London because they refuse to not look for more ways to make more money despite all of them being billionaires. They have said, our only goal in life is to increase our bottom line every single year for the rest of our lives. Whatever the casualties are on the way, whatever the collateral damage is on the way, we don't care. Does that mean watering down the product? Does that mean selling our souls? Does it mean a lesser competition? Does it mean we are compromising our tradition? They don't care. They don't care. And it's, for me personally, miserable because I'm so loyal to the traditions of the NFL and the roots of the NFL and the strengths of the NFL that it's really aggravating to me to see them toss all of that aside simply so that their quarterly reports are higher than their previous quarters. But this is what they do. And they see a market of 5 or 6 million people in the UK that are potential NFL fans. Apparently, studies have said that 5 million people in the UK consider themselves football fans. And they look at that as an American city with 5 million people that they would relocate a franchise to. And that would be a pretty good size city, be a very big size city. And they see a market that across the country, we've got all of these people that are willing to buy tickets and jerseys and merchandising. And that helps us also with a new television deal. We add a London market. London's one of the biggest cities in the world. This enhances our bottom line. No matter if the travel's difficult, no matter if players want to play there, no matter if, you know, it's the right thing to do for the fan bases here in the States that have spent decades supporting their team. They don't really care about that. So it checks off that. It also checks off the Chargers problem, and it's a problem. The NFL had too big a stomach, had too big an eyes for their stomach on Thanksgiving when they sat down about L.A. They said, oh, I'm so hungry. I'm going to eat turkey. Give me white meat. Give me dark meat. Oh, yeah, two servings of stuffing. So mashed potatoes, too. Oh, yeah, give me that corn. I want gravy all over it. Oh, we got pasta? Yeah, I'm going to do pasta salad as well. Hey, give me some bread as well. I want bread. Yeah, put butter on that bread. Yeah, I want it all. I'm super, super stuffed and hungry. And then they get halfway through the plate and go, oh, I'm stuffed. I can't eat anymore. Oh, L.A., we can put two teams in L.A. Everyone wants to go to L.A. It's a huge market, number two media market in America. We want two teams in L.A. And they realized L.A. doesn't want two teams. They want two teams in L.A. L.A. doesn't want two teams. So what happens? There's 10,000 Chargers fans. They spit in the face of San Diego as a city and a town that supported the Chargers for decades. And instead of doing the right thing, instead of the NFL doing the right thing, and the right thing was bridging the gap to make a stadium work in Oakland and to make a stadium work in San Diego by taking the relocation fees and putting them into the pot to close the gap between building a new stadium in San Diego and building a new stadium in Oakland. But the NFL, always super greedy, didn't want to fork over the extra $100 million in each standpoint, even though they had hundreds of million dollars to give. And they saw Vegas with a free stadium. They said, oh, we can pocket that $100 million. Okay, yeah, we'll take the Vegas stadium. And in L.A., oh, Kroenke is already building a stadium, so we don't have to put any money into that. So the Chargers, you could just move there. Instead of doing the right thing, and the right thing was San Diego had supported the Chargers for 55 years. And Oakland had supported the Oakland Raiders since the dawn of time in the AFL, except for the years that they were in L.A., but they always wanted the Raiders back. But instead of doing the right thing, they said, we'll let these teams move. And they got to L.A. and realized, oh, wait, Chargers fans feel screwed, so they're not coming with the Chargers to L.A. L.A. as a town has deeper ties to the Rams. And we don't need two teams in this city. And so what do you do? And I've talked about this ad nauseum. It's nice and fine now that the Chargers play in 27,000-seat soccer stadium. What happens next year when they play in a 70,000-seat stadium? Right now, Chargers games are pretty close to sold out because all of the road fans show up. But what happens when you've got to fill 60,000 road fans? Is it going to be 60,000 Packer fans or Eagles fans or Steelers fans? Or is it probably going to be more like 30,000 and you've got a half-empty stadium that's a brand-new gleaming stadium that you don't have people there? And the NFL saying, what happens if we move the Chargers to London full-time? London gets its team. We get our London market. We get the UK. We solve the Chargers problem. We've already taken away the football team from San Diego, so they're not going to miss them. And the NFL's eyeing this. And they're probably going to get it done. Now, this report is just that they're looking at this and that there's some support. And what would happen from a divisional standpoint, because you couldn't keep the Chargers in the West, because you can't ask the Chiefs and the Raiders and the Broncos to play two conference games, or at least one conference game every year, flying out to London from a West Coast city or a mountain or a central time zone, so that they would probably move the Chargers to the AFC South and move the Texans to the AFC West, so that the Chargers have a home base when they've got to come back for divisional games every year to not have to go all the way out west. They might move into the AFC East. And they've talked about moving the Dolphins out of the AFC East and putting the Dolphins in the South and putting the Texans in the West, so that your quote-unquote road games are closer, because then the Chargers are closer connected to Buffalo and New York and Boston, which are closer road trips and flights than the other cities. But what it's going to end up being is that if the NFL wants to kill two birds with one stone, they're going to do this. And it's going to be such a shame. Because what it'll end up being is the NFL creating its own problem and then solving it with another problem. The NFL is going to be quite fine, thank you, without having to put a full-time team in London. I don't know if you've noticed, but they make a lot of money right now, and there is no team there. I don't know if you noticed, but even before they started doing the annual London games, they were making a lot of money. Ratings through the roof, revenue through the roof. Yeah, they do pretty well. They do pretty well. They're usually operating in the black. And they said, no, but we want more. We got to have more. We need more. So London's more. And in solving that, they will take one of their other problems. They made a mistake in how they handled the Chargers. And they disenfranchised an entire city that was loyal to them for 60 years. Now, you know what? We'll just solve that problem with this problem. And then they're going to ask players to go live in London full-time. And we talked to Delanie Walker about this earlier in the show, and he was open-minded about it. But he's 35 years old toward the end of his career, saying this could be an experiment. I mean, can the Chargers be competitive when they've got to come here for a three-week road stretch? Because you're not going to play 1 week at home, 1 week on the road. So the Chargers are going to have to end up coming here to the States. At least half the roster is not going to be thrilled they have to live in a different country. And those guys will come over for three games at a time on the road. And then they'll go back. And they'll play three games at home. And just problems are created because the NFL needed to make more money. And ultimately, you know, didn't do what was the best thing for everybody. They said, we got to make more money so London. We got to make more money so the Raiders move. We got to make more money so the Chargers move. And then, oops, well, how do we solve all this to make more money? And it's disappointing, but it's the reality. And I've come to the conclusion that it's just the reality that this league, unfortunately, never makes decisions that are based on the betterment of the game. Because you can't tell me that the game is better by having the Chargers play in a soccer stadium with 80% Packer fans, or that the game is better by having the Chargers play three road games being based in London. You can't tell me that the league's better for that. But they're richer for it, and that's all that they will care about. It can't be better to move the Dolphins out of the AFC East, but ultimately, they're just trying to make more money. And however they do it, everything else be damned. It's an interesting report. It's worth your read in The Athletic today. When we come back, we've got your best audio of the day. It is time for Soundcheck, including Anthony Davis creating quite the stir for his free agency coming up a year from now. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Surge Protector, you're about to be zapped.
I gotta tell you, brother, I'm so happy that for the last 2 weeks when I was in Cancun, I was able to keep up with the DA show on watchda.com. Great job by Kaplan.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Indeed, watch the simulcast every single day. It's like a television broadcast, but digital only on any device. It's available at watchda.com. Sunday, the NFL on CBS features the Chiefs taking on the Titans or an NFC encounter between the Lions and the Bears. All beginning with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
Brady tweets, I'm trashing Will Hernandez, offensive lineman of the Giants. Somebody tell the guy he's paid to play football, not cause arguments and fights. Also trash the refs from Monday Night Football. Way to be flag happy. Hashtag get him out.
Warning, hazardous material.
Mraz's rant has been very popular today, and if you missed it, I highly encourage you to stick around for the epic fail of the morning today, or just go to our social media pages. You'll see him there.
Be aggressive! Be aggressive!
The face was very red. Adriana tweets, I'm trashing my daughter's school for holding Spirit Week in the middle of winter. She's trying to go out the door in a 7-degree morning wearing a Hawaiian outfit. Come on! How about Frozen Tundra Day? Winter X Games Day? Canadian Awareness Day?
That's a dumpster dive.
Elton tweets, I'm trashing the person that passed along whatever I had yesterday that kept me in the bathroom for 12 hours. Hashtag it clears it, literally.
I smell rotten eggs.
Upside Down Mike tweets, I'm trashing Mraz. What type of big boy are you that you're afraid of spider crickets? You pump those little buggers and move on. Hashtag it clears it. Hashtag take a lap.
Are those maggots?
What's that doing? What's that doing?
Lonnie tweets, DA, I'm trashing the pork store saboteurs. Mraz's impression of a spider cricket killed me. I'm still laughing. Thank you, Mraz. You are awesome.
So frustrating.
What's that doing? What's that doing?
Mraz hosts the overnight pork store on Saturdays here on CBS Sports Radio. And twice in the last 3 weeks, his entire folder of production elements has been deleted, erased. And our production guy, Doug, says the only way that can happen, that's not a glitch, that's somebody on the inside. That somebody on the inside's got to purposefully delete it. And we are trying to figure out Mraz's enemies list. And the problem is, Pete the Body Bilotti, as we actually think about it, Mraz has a growing list of enemies.
Yeah, you don't really know where to start. There's many avenues you can go. Some people could have did it. Someone could have did it just for a laugh. Others could have did it just out of vindictive spite.
Yes.
So you don't know. There's many directions.
Yeah, because what people might not realize is that Mraz has enemies because there's resentment for his success around here. He has enemies because he has really scalding hot takes and will make fun of your team and dance on your grave. So there's just this natural resentment towards his takes. And there's also the, oh, you're the fun-loving guy? Well, I'll pull a prank on you. So there's a lot of different ways that this can go, but apparently somebody is out to get Mraz.
Yeah, and he's also a bad winner, too. Yes. That's a big thing that's playing a factor into this.
Yep. And we don't know. See, when it comes to the resentment towards his success, we always joke about how he's succeeding in spite of himself around here, that he keeps adding jobs and good jobs, and that people look at him and might think, oh, well, he's lazy or he's not dependable or he's just a doofus and he keeps getting more jobs, and I want a shot on the air. That it could be somebody in-house that resents Mraz's success. It could be somebody on the outside influencing somebody on the inside to do the deed and delete all the stuff. Either way, Mraz, I hope that you're sleeping with one eye open every single night.
I am. Two eyes. Crickets on one eye and the saboteurs on the other.
What's that doing? What's that doing?
Aaron tweets, I'm trashing Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield. What a clown show they've become. No accountability. And who shaves three different ways the same day? Hashtag Randy Marsh quarterback.
Stinky debris.
Ridgely tweets, I'm trashing parent life. My son's nanny brings her nanny friend with her nanny kids to our apartment yesterday, and one of the little girls overflows the toilet. I'm not mad at her because the world still owes me plenty of clogged toilets for all I've given it, but, I mean, still. All right, trash it.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Yikes. Let's get to your best audio of the day here.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Ron Rivera. Will it be Kyle Allen or Cam Newton starting this week?
Allen will start this week. Cam will continue his rehab program. I've got nothing further to add, guys. I can't tell you anything other than what I've already told you.
Boy, there's a lot of Bill Clinton in there.
I can't tell you anything that I haven't already told you.
I've got nothing further to add, guys. I can't tell you anything other than what I've already told you.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about Cam Newton.
The Carolina Panthers right now are traveling to Green Bay to take on the Packers, and look, there's no doubt Kyle Allen has been better for that offense than Cam, and it's a very delicate situation because Cam's the franchise guy, Cam's the face of the franchise. Cam, I'm sure, has a lot of supporters inside that locker room. But when the Panthers are 5-3 and we're 0-2 with him, so they're 5-1 since, you don't want to have to make that change unless you got to make that change. And right now, they don't got to make that change. Anthony Davis is in Chicago. The Lakers are going to play the Bulls on the road, and he was at a charity event, and oh, looky here. He's now whipped everybody into a frenzy.
He knows nothing like playing at home. I am a free agent next year, but what does that mean?
Next question.
We'll see. Young man, responsibility.
So that was somebody asking him if he would be open to returning to his home roots of Chicago to play for the Bulls next year when he's going to be a free agent. Now, he's only played a couple of games for the Lakers, but here he is saying, well, there's nothing like playing at home, and Chicago is the Mecca, and I'll be a free agent. And then somebody going, next question, because, of course, this opens up a whole kettle of fish. I don't think that there is any way Anthony Davis is playing for the Bulls. Right now, he's in L.A. He fought his way to get to L.A. His agent shot his way out of town to get to L.A. to be a Laker. There's the brand of being the Lakers. There's the brand of playing alongside LeBron James. The Lakers are going to be fine this year. Anthony Davis already has proven that he's one of the best teams, one of the best players in the league with how he's played early this season. An early MVP candidate. Guess what? He ain't going to a Loserville Bulls team. I don't care how great going back home means. He's not leaving, potentially winning the NBA championship or playing deep into the NBA playoffs every year for going to the lottery Bulls. It's just not going to happen. And the Bulls might have a bright future. It ain't the present. He ain't going there. So he's just placating, I think, his home city. But what he does is creates this firestorm already, which is unnecessary. And finally, last night, Black Cat on the field at MetLife Stadium. And of course, who else would you rather hear than Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One call?
Now he is sitting and looking. Now he's at the five.
He's brought the walking. Cat?
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look at, they're trying to corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands. And the fans are running for their line. Now it goes back on the field again. And it's running in the back of the end zone. And it runs up the tunnel.
When a cat is loose on the field, there is no play-by-play announcer better suited than Kevin Harlan to give you the play-by-play. Remember he gave us the play-by-play of the drunk guy that ran on the field? He's beating his chest! Kevin is the absolute best because he's brilliant at what he does. He's one of the best play-by-play guys ever and doesn't take himself too seriously. And that's all you can ask from a great play-by-play guy. When we come back here on the show, we've got your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut. How about Brandon Ingram's night? It's all coming up straight ahead, plus your epic fail as we re-rack Mraz's incredible meltdown. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
It is the volcano pork shank. Yeah, volcano pork shanks.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, I need some volcano pork shanks right about now.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Thanks for being with us at a fine trash Tuesday. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switching to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. AZ and Wisco tweets, DA, I'm trashing my Twitter feed because somehow it has an auto-scroll feature that I wasn't previously aware of, and it keeps refreshing itself and scrolling away from tweets that I'm reading. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Rob, the 321, I'm trashing my daughter's school. They have T-shirts for everything, and I was told by her teacher she didn't have the one for field trips. I asked if she needed. She says she already has 40 others.
Ooh, that garbage bag is leaking.
Gah. Paul tweets, I'm trashing the guys my age that all either, quote, used to be ripped to or, quote, were in great shape, but now we're closer to Mraz. Apparently, we used to have a society of Spartans walking around. Sorry, guys, you never looked like me. Take a lap.
Splash Brothers? More like the Trash Brothers.
Paul! Zach tweets, I'm trashing Collinsworth for mentioning Gronk like a million times on Sunday night. He's retired. He's not injured. Stop using his absence as an excuse. Jerk.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Matt tweets, it's too easy to trash the Browns. I'm trashing the entire Browns fandom because we all obviously lead terrible previous lives to deserve this kind of karma. Browns fans, take us out.
Illegal dumping.
Senor Pantleg tweets, Georgia loses to South Carolina. The narrative is, oh, it's just one bad loss, but they've got the rest of the season to get back in the playoff. Oklahoma loses to K-State, and it's those guys have no business being in the playoff picture. Get that trash out of here.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
Look, I'm not sold on Georgia either. But if Georgia wins the SEC, that means they would have had to beat Alabama or LSU to get there. If Oklahoma gets through with one loss and wins the Big 12, who are they beating to do it? Texas again? Baylor? Do you honestly think it has been a great season for Matt Rhule and Baylor? Great. But you can't think that if Oklahoma beats Baylor, it's the same as Georgia beating Bama or LSU. That's the difference. It's not what have they done to this point in time, because you're right. Georgia's rep or Georgia's resume isn't great. They beat an okay Notre Dame team and a good Florida team. But Oklahoma, what do they got? They got a Texas win, and they gave up 48 points to Kansas State. And they would only have to beat Baylor. That's just not the same resume at the end of the day to get into a college football playoff. They've got to win all of these games by 30 points. Oklahoma does. To make up for that stinker. Let's bring you your cut line, the story that did not make the cuts.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Brandon Ingram erupts for a career best 40 points. And how crazy is it that Ingram is in his fourth season and he's only 22 years old? He goes for 45-5 last night at Barclays Center. Now, even though the Pelicans have only one win so far on the season, Ingram has been a huge, raging success. And this kind of shows where the potential always was for him as a scorer. He's so natural. He's so fluid. He's so efficient. And just the last couple of years with the Lakers, Ingram, perhaps it was because of lack of star power or too much star power, rather, around him. Maybe it was poor coaching. Maybe he just needed to develop and mature more. But right now, Ingram is one of the best scorers in the NBA. He's averaging nearly 26 points per game. He's incredibly efficiently, and he's shooting well from the outside, from beyond the arc. He's much, much better than he's ever been. So watching Brandon Ingram right now, I'm surprised that the Pelicans are so bad. They'll get Zion back here eventually, and maybe that changes fortunes around. Jrue Holiday will eventually get out of this funk. But right now, if you're going to watch anything, it's worth watching the Pelicans on League Pass even without Zion, because Brandon Ingram's doing special things.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
The Seahawks add wide receiver Josh Gordon to the team. He passed through waivers. He's 28 years old. He was waived off of injured reserve by the Patriots last week. And so every other team in the NFL had the opportunity to put on a claim, and the Seahawks did. And the Seahawks have a reputation under Pete Carroll of going out and getting quote-unquote damaged goods or guys that have been pushed out of other locker rooms. I think that this is a potentially valuable addition, but not necessary right now for the Seahawks. I think whatever they get out of Josh Gordon is a benefit. What we're seeing from Russell Wilson is playing this game at a higher level than almost any other quarterback right now in the NFL. And Tyler Lockett and Metcalf have been good enough. And right now, you know, you add Josh Gordon to that mix, it adds another wrinkle, another potential target. He was effective in New England, if not great anymore. You're never getting the Josh Gordon of 5-6 years ago when, unfortunately, substance abuse eradicated what would have been his prime years. He's put toll on that body, and he's not getting it back, unfortunately. But for the Seahawks, hey, they're already a potential top five team in the NFL, and if they get anything out of Josh Gordon, it's a plus. My worry this past weekend was the defense and allowing the Buccaneers to look that good and pushing you to overtime at home. But offensively, what Russell Wilson is doing currently is amazing to watch, and Gordon could even get more production out of that offense.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, ahead of the Alabama LSU game, LSU loses one of its star linebackers, Michael Divinity. He leaves the team due to personal reasons. We don't know what that is. It sounds like everybody inside that program is supporting him and that he's got something to deal with, so perhaps it's a family issue. But for Divinity, it's a big departure because he's leading the team in sacks, and Aranda has found ways to get him after the passer, and that LSU offense is incredible. I think they'll be able to score points coming up here against Alabama. Bama's given up yards, but can they? You know, Tua's going to be not 100%, but this is going to be in Tuscaloosa. I'd feel better about LSU's chances if this was in Baton Rouge. But losing Divinity is a big one because you're going to need players to chase around Tua and make him look one-dimensional, especially if he's kind of hobbled, and Divinity would have been one of those guys.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Courtney, the First Lady of Trash Tuesday, tweets, I'm trashing glitter. It gets everywhere and stays everywhere. My niece's Halloween costume had glitter, and it's somehow in my purse, in my car. I woke up this morning with glitter in my hair like I went to some nightclub last Thursday. It's basically herpes of kindergarten. Easily shared, won't go away, leaves a visible, hellish trail in its wake.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Courtney, the First Lady of Trash Tuesday, never disappoints. It's the herpes of kindergarten. Glitter. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Mraz's all-time takedown of Pat Shurmur this morning.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
This doofus every single week is the leader of these idiot head coaches that think they're going to get a pass interference overturned. How about you? We need the timeouts down a couple scores for Dallas, Pat. How about, Pat, you realize how important timeouts are, Pat? How about you don't understand that they're not going to overturn this, Pat? I mean, enough's enough, Pat. Dave Gettleman's number one reason for hiring Pat Shurmur was, quote, he was an adult in the room, Pat. Cliff Kingsbury acts like a 19-year-old pulling more tail than a zookeeper.
She used to have to milk the cows in the rain.
And that guy knows how to run an offense. Is he an adult in the room? I don't care if it's a toddler with sidewalk chalk drawing the plays.
Come on.
Know when to challenge or when not. Know when to be aggressive. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. An adult in the room? Great. The adult in the room's going to get you 2-14 again and ruin Daniel Jones. What a waste. Another wasted year. The worst record since 2017. And that's on Pat Shurmur. Up till 1 a.m. getting 4 hours of sleep, pregnant wife at home for this garbage. Kenyon Drake comes off the plane to Miami to play a Thursday night game. He's basically on the bus. Kingsbury hands the guy a couple index cards and says, here's the plays we're going to run for you. The guy's got 40 fantasy points and is breaking a game wide open versus the 49ers defense.
You're right.
And Saquon Barkley's been in the league 2 years. We run one screen to him. We can't figure it out. But, hey, here's an end around to a tight end. Great creativity, Pat. An offensive genius, an adult in the room. My ass. My fat ass.
Don't you hate when a ghost puts it in you?
Probably going to give him an extension again because we got to give adults extensions. And they're going to say, well, second year, we'll figure out the offensive line. We have free agent money to spend. And these absolute turds aren't going to figure anything out. And they're going to be 4-12 again. Pat.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh, one of the all-timers. You can watch that as long as you want on Twitter today. I've posted it on my Twitter page. CBS Sports Radio has done it to theirs as well. It's also going to be available on YouTube and Facebook, I promise. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, DA, heck of a transition from you talking about a person getting stabbed over a spicy chicken sandwich at Popeyes to chopping it up with Jerry Rice. That's the mothership in a nutshell. Agreed. And throw in Mraz's Cliff Kingsbury gets more tail than a zookeeper line. And you can be certain, my ass, my fat ass is going to be a drop forever around here. That will live forever in the DA Show's archives. I can guarantee you that. My ass, my fat ass. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Aneurysm today. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, your Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, Herman Moore in studio, Houston Nutt on the first college football playoff rankings. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnect.
My ass! My fat ass!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.